Blog Talk Radio.
Reader's Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello and welcome to Reader's Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and tonight's show theme is Seeing the Stories Beyond the Bible. We're going to take a look at some well-known stories of the Bible and talk to best-selling author Tosca Lee about the stories beyond the stories. So with me tonight, of course, is my most favorite co-host, Anita Higman. Hi, Anita.
I'm here. I'm glad to be here. Hi, Sheila.
How was France?
It was wonderful. Quite a wild adventure. Lots of fun, but kind of wild at times.
Oh, I love Paris. Paris is one of my favorite cities. Well, I'm glad that you made it here for the show. It's never the same without you. So now, for our listeners, you can chat live here with us at www.blogtalkradio.com/circle-of-7. And we have a chat board up, a live chat board. You can go over there and ask questions or comments. And I wanted to let you know, for those of you who would like a free book, Tosca Lee has some books for us to give away. So if you come and you put something up on the chat board, let us know that you'd like to have a book. We'll be in contact with you and get that to you. We have three or four books to give away tonight. And for those of you who download the podcast after the live show, come on over to our blog and leave a comment, and you might be able to get a book that way. So about an hour after the show, you can download the podcast and then find out more at our blog at www.readersentertainment.tv/radio. Let me introduce our guest to you tonight by telling you a little bit about her. And for those of you who would like to find out more about her during or after the show, you can go to her website. It's at www.toscalee.com. I'm going to spell it for you. It's TOSCALLE.com. So head over there. It's a really, really beautiful website. Lots of stuff. There was video on there and some interviews, just all sorts of information on there. And you can check out each book in more detail. All you're going to do, as soon as you get to that website and you see what these books are about, I am certain that you're going to be very excited. Now, Tosca Lee is the critically acclaimed author of Demon, a memoir, Christie Award finalist, and Forward Magazine Book of the Year Silver Award winner, and Hava, The Story of Eve, which received a starred review from Publishers Weekly and 4.5 stars from Romantic Times. Forbidden, the first book in her new series with New York Times bestseller Ted Decker, who I absolutely love, by the way, releases September 2011. And Iscariot, Tosca's highly anticipated novel about the infamous betrayer of Christ, releases January 2012. Now, some interesting little tidbit that I'm going to share. The former first runner-up to Mrs. United States, Tosca received her BA from Smith College in Massachusetts, and she also studied at Oxford University. I don't know what's left to say, but wow, welcome, Tosca.
Thank you.
That's a lot.
Really good.
That's great. Now,
I
have to tell you, Anita, she was so thrilled when she called me to say that you agreed to do the show, and you know, and now I know why. You're absolutely amazing.
Aww, thank you.
Tell me, what got you started on the path to writing?
Well, you know, I've been a writer pretty much most of my life, and I didn't really think about it or think of myself as a writer. It was just something that I did, and I. The first article I ever published was actually when I was in third grade. I wrote this little article about my dog dying, and this local pet lovers newsletter published it. And I always wrote, you know, when I was young, I had entered these, you know, young authors contests and would go off to the, you know, the annual conference and do these things. And you know, win some contests, things like that. But, you know, I was going to become a news anchor. That's what I was really going to do. That was what I was aiming for. Either that or I wanted to go into advertising. And it wasn't until I was in college that I finally said to my dad one day, you know, I think I would really enjoy writing, and I would like to write. So he made a deal with me that summer that I used to stay home in the summer and make my spending money for the rest of the college year before I went back to school. And he said, I will give you your spending money for the year if you want to stay home and write your novel this summer.
Wow.
I wrote a novel that summer, and gosh, I'm scared to read it now. It's in a closet. I tried to submit it and do everything, but that was my first novel. So that's how I kind of got started.
Well, that's nice to have that kind of support.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, my parents always believed in me. Teachers, so important. Teachers, you know, teachers were such a great encouragement to me. So that's, you know, parents and teachers, for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, now I'm going to turn the interview over to Anita for a while. She has a lot of questions for you, so I'm going to turn that over. Anita, it's all yours.
Okay. Yeah, I do have a lot of questions. But first of all, Demon.
Okay.
No, you'll be fine. Demon, a memoir. I have to say, I've read it, and it is brilliantly written. And I don't think there's anything else out there in the marketplace quite like it. And I have to know, and the listeners, I'm sure, have to know, how did this amazing story come to be, Tosca?
Well, thank you. I was writing a different novel at the time. I had been writing it for many years. I was writing about this warrior woman, and I really love the story. Someday I will go back and finish it. And at that time, we're talking about 99, 2000, so about 10 years ago. I was living on the edge of town where I live in Lincoln, Nebraska. And I was driving on this, you know, flat, straight stretch of road, which is basically what we've got in Nebraska, flat, straight stretch of road. And it's great for thinking. And I was part of this collaborative story writing group, and I was trying to think of a new character, a new storyline to write with this group. And I started thinking, you know, what if I wrote the story of an angel? And it was like, you know, okay. And then I thought, what if I wrote the story of an expat angel? You know, wouldn't that be, you know, kind of exciting? And I started getting these kind of comic book images, because when you think about demons and devils in our, you know, culture today, we've really comic booked them in a way. You know, they're red, they have horns.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
thought, you know, what would it really be like? What would a real demon really be like? What would the vendetta be? And I started thinking about, you know, what if you had made one mistake? You chose to follow the wrong person, and for that, you are doomed. And in the meantime, you watch God go, and you watch God make this race of clay human people and shower his love on these people and give them chance after chance and finally go and die for these people. How would your heart be towards this race of clay people? Well, it wouldn't be good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I finally had a story. So I got home and I started writing a story, and I wrote it within about 3 months. And it took me it took 5-6 years to sell it. So it took a long time, but that's how the story came to be.
Well, I hadn't thought of this question before, but since you said it took you those number of years to sell it, do you think that the Christian marketplace just wasn't quite ready for a novel like that?
It's possible. I think that the timing really worked out perfectly, because by the time that it did come out, it was ready. And 5-6 years before, I don't know. I think it just worked out perfectly the way it did. Of course, it was hard to wait, though. So.
Yeah, that is quite a few years. You said 5 or 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's quite a wait.
It's a long time.
It speaks well of your character to be able to have the patience.
Well,
like
I racked up a lot of rejection letters. I think I got to a point where I thought I'd been pretty much rejected by everybody, and I think I've, especially in the Christian fiction market, I pretty much had been.
Well, I'm so glad that it got published, because
thank you.
It's an amazing novel. And as you had said, this is the account of a fallen angel. And I did want to add a question to that. How difficult, really, was it to write about supernatural creatures that are real, but that we really don't see in everyday life? And so how hard was that to mm-hmm. conjure up these kinds of dialogue and things?
Well, on the one hand, it was hard. I know people who believe that they have had real experiences with supernatural creatures. I don't know that I myself have had that kind of real close experience or contact, so I wasn't able to write from that position. But I am able to think about what it might feel like to be in that position of watching your birthright, you know, basically your birthright, be passed on to, you know, a race of clay people. When you, here you are, you're this glorious spiritual being, and you watch, you know, the place that you had basically go to someone else. And so I could imagine what that would be like, and I could imagine the anxiety and the terrible sense of doom of knowing, you know what, there's something not right here, and I have really messed up. So I could imagine those things. So that's kind of how I did it.
Well, I definitely got that sense of doom. You did that very well. And a sense of hope, too. It hit both. I want to move on to your novel, Hava, just a little bit. And first of all, I want to make 100% certain I'm pronouncing that correctly. Is it Hava?
Hava. I think if you want to be really technical, it's like Hava. You know, you kind of have to get it back in your throat a little bit. But, yeah, Hava is about as close as I usually get.
Okay. Well, this is the first, for the listeners out there, this is a first-person account of Eve. And I was just wondering if you had to do anything special to sort of get inside her head and to create this voice.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hava is, to me, it's a woman's story. And I wanted to make it, you know, just like Clay, the character in Demon, was kind of the everyman. Hava, in this case, I wanted to make kind of an everywoman. And I used a lot of my own experiences with my own relationships. I used to be married. I used, kind of the experience from my marriage and the, you know, relationships around me to go into that because, you know, we can't identify with someone like an Eve character not having had any experience close to anything, you know, that she lived through. But one thing that we really can identify with is the sense of what it's like to lose something or to love someone or to be disappointed or to make a mistake. And so, for me, the way that I crawled inside her skin was to think about those relationships and the feelings that I've had and to really try to humanize her experience because for those who believe in a real Adam and Eve, there is, you know, they must have had those same feelings
mm-hmm.
that we had. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow, that was a beautiful answer. Thank you. Your books seem to come under the heading of speculative biblical fiction. Is that really the way you want your work labeled? Or, I mean, is that the way you would describe your work?
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting question. There's no doubt that there's a biblical or a theological theme in everything that I've done so far and that in what I'm working on right now. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the speculative title. Though a lot of people are not sure what the speculative title means. And, you know, I don't really mind whatever genre it's classified under. I just want people to come to my books willing to go to another place and willing to, you know, step outside the realm of everyday experience and to try to, you know, reimagine emotion and relationships. But in a completely different place.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that's called I would like it to be called.
Well, I've read both of the books, and it seems to me you would have to do a tremendous amount of research for these kinds of books. And so I guess I was wondering, how much research do you have to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, for Demon, I mean, Demon was set in modern-day Boston. So for me, you know, that included a trip out to visit my sister who lives in Boston. And that's partially why I chose that location. So for that, you know, research was minimal. It was about the places and the location and, you know, the local East Coast culture there. And I went to school near there, too, so that was familiar. for HAVA, the research was pretty hefty.
Mm-hmm.
That consisted of a lot of scriptural commentary, reading other books like the Apocrypha, books like the Book of Adam, the Book of Jubilees, things like that. Also reading Hebrew translations of Genesis, because there's something that truly gets lost in a lot of our standard English translations, which is really a pity. And there's a wonderful translation by a man named Robert Alter on Genesis that I relied on. For HAVA, too, right, the research included things like basket weaving, textiles, ancient agriculture, childbirth. I don't have children myself, so, all these, everyday things, like how do you start a fire if you don't have mm-hmm. matches? I mean, I really didn't know what I was getting myself into when I signed on to do this book. I had no clue the scope of research. So.
It did seem like you would have to read quite a few books. So how many did it take, quite a few months to do the research for HAVA?
The research took between 4 to 6 months. And a lot of it was just having the references there so I could access them when I needed them. I mean, I had a lot of books on horticulture. Obviously, I didn't need to read the whole book, but I needed to be able to look up certain things because I do point to plants and seeds and, the way things grow and the way plants propagate, things that I believe Adam and Eve would have known. So probably 4 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you said as far as how long to write them, I think you said Dean in the memoir was 3 months to write?
Yeah, that
how
was
long?
About 3 months. HAVA took closer to about 4 or 5 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But by the time I sit down to write, after you've done all the research, a lot of the story has filled itself in, so it's just the process of sitting down and putting it down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your novels, especially Demon and Memoir, gives us a glimpse into the spiritual realm, and I was wondering what your reader response was on this particular angle. What are some of your readers saying?
Well, when I read letters from readers, one of the things that they say to me most often is that it caused them to go and want to read the Genesis account for themselves. It caused them to want to go and refer back to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Which I love. I love that because, that's where I started. And it says that, a lot of readers say that it's caused them to examine their own spiritual lives and to think of them in new ways and also to revisit a lot of the kind of cliche biblical tales. Good and evil, Jesus died for us, Adam and Eve, these things are so well known to us that we just say them, and the impact is a little bit lost. And so, a lot of readers will say that it's caused them to reexamine those. And that, to me, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate, really, for me.
Well, in reading your work, I noticed that it has this sort of a lyrical, I guess you could call it lyrical prose. And I was wondering, every writer has such a different style, but I was wondering, how did your style evolve? It is really beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I'm sure it's an influence of other authors that I've read most, my whole life, authors that I really enjoy. But I can tell you that when I'm writing, a lot of times I hear the rhythm of a sentence. I hear sentences as rhythms. And so I'm filling them in. And one thing that I did in HAVA, which I didn't plan for, is that, it's written in first person in past tense up until the last chapter, which is present tense because that's the end of her life. But I kept coming to these moments where she would reflect on her life in present tense, and they came out in these kind of little poetry-type stanzas. And I didn't plan for those, but I kept hearing them, and I kept hearing them. So I put those in there, and I can't really say, how that happened, but that's just kind of what I heard, so that's what I did. I don't know if that's a good explanation.
No, I think it is. I think it is. It's excellent. I wanted to talk a little bit about the novel Iscariot, which is going to be released in 2012. How did this story come about? This is something very different.
Yeah, it's different. It's also similar in that I'm writing again about, you know, kind of a maligned character. You know, I've done, you know, now demons, I've done Eve, and now we've got Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Christ. So the story behind this one is that I was talking with the editor that first acquired Demon, and that was Jeff Gehrke. And he was saying, you know, what are you going to do next after Hava? And I said, you know, I really don't know. And he said, well, I've got an idea for you. And I said, okay, lay it on me. And he said, how about, and, you know, here's the drum roll, how about Balaam's donkey? Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, this is an obscure story about this donkey owned by this guy named Balaam that suddenly one day starts talking.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff says this, and I have these visions of Mr. Ed. And I'm like, no way. And I don't know if he was really serious about that or if he was just saying that so that, you know, the second option would sound more appealing. But I was like, forget it. And he goes, okay, what about Judas, the betrayer of Christ? And I said, no way, because of the research, and it's dark, and, you know, of course, I've written dark stories before. But after this conversation, I was traveling, and when I travel, my mind wanders a lot, and I just couldn't shake it. And I finally called my agent, and I said, you know, I'm kind of thinking about writing this story about Judas, and I really expected him to talk me out of it. And he said, that's great. And I said, oh, no. So that's kind of how that happened.
That's a good story. I like that. Well, you know,
I will not be writing about Balaam's donkey. Just that's a definite
well,
no.
I want to know, really, that, you know, Judas Iscariot is such a hated and really despicable historical figure. Is that going to be really, really hard for you to write about someone so hated?
Yes and no. Yes, because... yes, for, you know, because it's a dark story. It's a story with a really despondent ending. We all know what happened to him. No, because writing the story of Judas is writing the story of any person. I'm not sure that, you know, that we can say, you know, had we been in the same place, would we have done the same thing? Would we have gotten it? Would we have understood? I don't know. But the challenge for me is to go in and say, why would he do it? I don't believe that people just do things for no reason. That's part of why I wanted to write the Eve story. I don't believe that, you know, a woman who you have to assume was probably created as one of the most intelligent people on the earth, you know, created perfect,
mm-hmm.
walked with God, would have just said, oh, it's pretty, I think I'll just eat this. You know, I don't buy it. So writing the story of Judas is really about examining, you know, the real story behind the story and the humanity behind the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, before our time is up, I really do have to, you know, talk about Ted Decker just for a minute, because I've heard that you're co-authoring with Ted Decker on a new series called Forbidden. So, you know, our listeners probably want to know, how easy or hard was that to write together?
Yeah. Well, writing with someone is completely different than writing on your own. I mean, you write on your own, and you can kick yourself, and you can, you know, you can do the usual swing between delusions of grandeur and, you know, I'm a worm, you know, on your own within, you know, 5 seconds usually for me. writing with somebody else, you know, there's a lot of communication. You have to make sure you're on the same page. You have to have a high level of trust. And you have to be willing to let someone see your writing in its truly ugly stage. And that is hard because, you know, especially when you've already put out a couple books, you're used to, you know, people seeing your writing when it's been edited and it's sparkly and shiny. So it's definitely different. But writing with Ted Decker is a real joy because here's someone who thinks very differently, who is very brave and unafraid in their writing, and someone with really good instincts. So, it, you know, that is so nice to be able to fall back on those instincts and say, you know, what should we do here? I'm not sure. You know, I have a great deal of faith and trust in Ted's instincts. So.
Well, I also want to ask, as a writer myself, I have to try to understand, how would you mesh, you know, different writing styles like this? Did you have some secrets in how you handled the collaboration?
Yeah, you know, I've talked with a bunch of different people now about how they collaborate, and I find that everybody does it differently. And the way that we've done it, and the way we've done it is even different than how he's done it before. And the way we did it is, you know, we brainstormed the whole thing together. We came up with a story, laid it all out together, and then Ted broke it down into the scenes, because that's really, he's a master at that, and pacing is one of his great strengths. So he did that. I started the writing, and he came in right behind me, editing, adding. And then when it was all done, I went through again, and he's gone through again. So what we've ended up with is, you know, it's hard to tell who wrote what. And there, you know, a lot of times there's sentences where, you know, it's a definite combination. It's had both of our hands. So both of our hands have been, you know, in every single page and paragraph and sentence of that story.
Well, it sounds wonderful, the way you've worked together, and I can't wait to read the series.
Thank you.
I have really hogged the time so much because I really wanted to visit with you, but now I better hand it over to Sheila because Sheila has some things she'd like to ask, too.
Okay.
Well, you know, I've actually had a really good time kind of listening in, and I think, Anita, you probably asked a lot of the same questions I would have asked. I am going to ask this one. What does a day in the life of Tosca Lee look like?
I am probably one of the least structured people that I know, so it's hard to say. I mean, it depends, because a lot of times I'm a night owl, and it's not uncommon for me to stay up until 5 in the morning sometimes. People who check in with me on my Facebook page sometimes, you know, I've got something I call Writer Cam, and I'll throw up pictures while I'm working, and they're ugly, you know, especially around 5 in the morning. So it really depends on, you know, where I went, what time I went to bed and what time I got up. And but, you know, it's pretty much a given that there's going to be some time on the phone talking through particulars about marketing or, you know, one book or another, or, you know, time with my agent. So there's always some time on the phone. There's always time where I'm catching up with email and, you know, the business of writing, which could pretty much take up your whole day. And it's finding time to actually write and to do the research. These days, I spend a lot of time reading because I'm still, you know, researching as I go, as I write for the Judas book. And the amount of research there is just, it could go on. You could make a life work out of it. Many people do. So
you've got some things that are done. You've got some things that you're currently working on. Do you have an idea of what's next?
Well, the Judas book right now, that's where I am. And then Ted and I go back and work on the second book in the Forbidden series. So that will be the next one. And after that, then I will write another solo book. So I go back and forth like that.
Okay. Well, there's our music that tells us that we're running out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, Academy Awards.
I know, it just went by so fast. I want to thank you so much for finding the time to chat with us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, Anita, for finding such a fantastic guest for us.
You're welcome.
It's always a pleasure to do our Christian shows together. And I do want to remind our listeners, I saw there were a lot of people on the chat room. I gave out an email address that you can email if you're interested in trying to get one of those books. And, of course, you can always go to our blog. I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. You can join us here live every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can download us on iTunes or Odeo or Blueberry or any of the other online sites, as well as finding us at readersentertainment.tv/radio. Thank you again. This is Sheila English, and this is Readers Entertainment Radio.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.